I read this week, many years ago, they used to produce antivenom from horses. If a snake bit you, they would get a horse's blood, and their theory was, and it worked for many years, that a horse, being such a large animal and having such immunity to such things such as even snakes, that produced a very good antivenom. But a little later on, scientists had found out that there was a smaller animal that had blood more powerful than a horse. And that animal was a lamb. And the one thing that could do battle against the venom of a poisonous snake was the blood of a lamb. Boy, many years ago on Calvary's cross, God, in His wisdom and supreme sovereignty, said, I want to make a way in such a way that mankind, whosoever will, whoever comes to Jesus Christ can be saved, and they will be saved by the blood of that precious Lamb. To God be the glory for the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, I want to encourage you to find Matthew chapter number 28. Matthew chapter 28, I cannot get away from this sermon. The title of the message is The Realities of the Resurrection. And today is so vitally important to our Christian faith, because without the resurrection, there would be no redemption. The resurrection is the singular doctrine that elevates Christianity above all other religions around the world. In fact, Dr. D. James Kennedy once said, "The evidence of the resurrection of Jesus Christ has been examined more carefully than the evidence of any other fact in history." Just as the heart pumps life-giving blood to every part of the body, so the truth of the resurrection gives life to every other area of the gospel. Without the reality of the resurrection, Christianity would just be another fish in the sea of religion. However, the reality of the resurrection is clearly seen in the Scriptures, separating Christianity from all other human philosophies and religious speculations. In Matthew's report, he says in Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse number 1, "In the end of the Sabbath, as began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear ye not, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And they went to tell his disciples. Behold, Jesus met them," as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by his feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came to the city and showed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the Word of God. This Easter morning, this Resurrection Sunday morning, I want to share with you the realities of the resurrection. Number one, the first reality is this: the certainty of the testimonies. the certainty of the testimonies. If you're here today and you're speculating or you're wondering, what are the realities of this resurrection? The first thing I would say to you is look at the certainty of these testimonies. You see them in verse 2 through 6, in verse 7 through 8, and verse 11 through 12. On the resurrection morning, we see three testimonies that we cannot ignore. I want you to notice them this morning. Number one, the first testimony we run into is the testimony of the angel. Did you see it there in verses 2 through 6? When the angel appears on the scene, we are confronted with three truths that the angel gives us. Truth number one, the truth of the notification. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 2. The Bible says, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door, and he sat upon it. His countenance was like that of lightning, and his raiment as white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay." Did you see the truth of the notification? He says right there in the text, the notification that the angel gave is that he is not here. The grave is empty. The angel alluded to the fact that just a few days before, Jesus Christ was suspended between heaven and earth. He was crucified, died an agonizing death. And as he died of a broken heart for you and for me, he died in our place that he might bring redemption to whosoever comes to Jesus Christ. And they put him in a borrowed tomb because he knew he wouldn't need it too much long. And so he took that tomb. One day passed, 2 days passed, but on the third day, up from the grave, he arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And the angel notified, he is not here. He's alive. We see the notification. We get notifications all the time. In fact, while I'm preaching this morning, you're going to get several notifications on your phone. And you're going to want to look at them. You're going to want to pay attention to those notifications. And I want to share with you this morning, the greatest notification that you're going to get today is the notification of the angel. He is not here. He's risen. Number two, the second thing I want you to notice about the angel's testimony is the truth of the declaration. The Declaration of Independence was given to us on July 4th, 1776 by the Second Continental Congress, asserting the 13 American colonies separated from British rule. It articulates the colonies that have been given against this British crown and says that we are going to stand in liberty and democracy. We are declaring today that we are a free nation. Brothers and sisters, I want to share with you that 2,000 years before we find another declaration, and this declaration came from the angel, and that declaration that came from the angel is simply this: He is risen. He is alive, and He's alive forevermore. We serve a risen Savior, and thanks be unto God, He's alive. That's the truth of the declaration. That's the truth of the notification. That's the testimony of the angel. But wait a minute. Don't miss this one. The angel also gives us a third testimony. That third testimony that he gives us there in the text is found in verse number 6. He says, he is not here. There's a notification. He is risen. There's a declaration. And then look what he says right here. As he has said, come and see. You know what that is? That's an invitation. Come and see. Throughout all of the scriptures, God is always saying, come and see, come and see, come and see, come and see that Jesus is who he says he is. Who did Jesus say he was? He says, I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Jesus is the only way of salvation. And he invited those ladies to come in that day, come and see where the Lord lay. The proof of his resurrection is he's not in the grave. We see in the text the testimony of the angel. But watch this, don't miss it. Not only do you see the testimony of the angels, the second thing you see, the second testimony is the testimony of the women. The testimony of the women in verses 7 and 8. Look at what the Bible says. The Bible says, "And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you." Now, watch verse 8. The conjunction and they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. Here we find the testimony of the women. Did you notice the two imperatives about their testimony? The two things that the scripture focused on, Matthew, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, in giving us the testimony of this of these women, there are two imperatives that he wanted us to focus on. Number one, the first one is their motivation. Their motivation. What was their motivation? Look at what the Bible tells us there. The Bible says, and they departed quickly. Why? Why did they depart quickly? Why did they run so fast? Was it because they were scared? Was it because they were afraid of the angel? No, listen, they ran quickly to tell the disciples because Jesus is alive. They watched him as he died. They were there as he hung suspended between heaven and earth. They watched the blood drip from his hands. They watched it drop off of his chin. They heard the seven cries of the cross. They heard him say, "Tetelestai, it is finished." And they were going to the grave that day to make sure that his body was prepared correctly, because it was put in the tomb so quickly before Passover. We see their motivation. They departed quickly. Oh, brothers and sisters, if we would adopt the testimony of these women in our actions, if we would depart quickly from today and share with a lost and dying world that today is the day that sets us apart from any other religion on this planet. Today is the day that split time from B.C. and A.D. Today is the day where we say, go to the tomb, go to the grave. He is not there. He's alive. He is risen. The motivation of their testimony. But watch this. Not only do I want you to see their motivation, I want you to see their motion. Look at what the Bible says. Notice the text. He says, not only did they depart quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, the Bible says, and did run to bring his disciples word. They ran. They took off in a sprint to tell the disciples that Jesus was alive. The word run here means to strive hard, and it means to be out of breath. It means that they did something that they don't normally do. A lot like me, run. They ran. And they ran so hard, they were out of breath. They wanted to give this testimony to the disciples that you're not going to believe what we saw. The stone was rolled away. An angel sat upon it, and he told us to go to Galilee. He's telling us he's alive. Jesus was not in the tomb. The testimony of the women. The testimony of the angel. But watch this. There's also a third testimony in verse 11 and 12. And that's the testimony of the guards. Did you see it there? Notice what the Bible says in verse 11 and 12. The Bible says, now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city. The word watch there is the guards that were guarding the tomb. The Bible says that there were some of these guards that came to the city, and they showed unto the high priest all the things that were done. If you have your pens, pencil, lipstick, or mascara, I would underline the word all there in the text, because the Bible is indicating to us that here are these men, these guards that were guarding the tomb of Jesus Christ, went to the high priest and said, you know what? I think we're on the losing side of this battle. Jesus Christ is alive. And you're going to need to sit down, high priest, because there's some things that we want to tell you. We saw these things with our own eyes. And they began to retell what they just experienced. That they were sitting there as the tomb had been sealed. And they were guarding it. And the Bible indicates here, in just a few minutes we'll see it, they were indicating that they truly were guarding it. The seal was upon it. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, like a sneeze, the ground began to shake. Thank you, dear brother. Can you be back at 11 at that very moment? I need you in the 11 o'clock, sir, at this very moment in time. And the ground began to shake, and the stone began to roll away. And up from the grave, Jesus arose. When you look at this message, it carries three important things that are worthy of our attention. The resurrection narrative of these guards, their testimony. There are two points that are worthy for us to note. Number one, the first thing I want you to see, number one, is their confirmation. You see it in verse number 11, their confirmation. Again, they wanted to say everything, all the things that were done. And the Bible tells us that they showed them these things. They showed them all the things. That is to be made known publicly, that they're going public about this message. They have to go public about this message, because if they don't go public about this message, they're dead. As a matter of fact, it's indicated by Scripture that they're going to be dead anyways. And in order to let them know that they're not really going to be dead, look at what the Bible tells us there in this passage of Scripture. The Bible says in verse number 14, says, "And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you." Yet you really think the governor's going to go, "Oh, okay, you guys fell asleep and they came in and stole the body? You guys are a bunch of dummies. You're dead." But no. We see here in the text, the Bible says in verse number 12, "And when they were assembled with the elders," they made sure the high priest and all the elders were together, "and they had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers." Here's a bribe. They bribed them. And this is what we want you to say. We want you to say that his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were sleeping. Now it must have been a very, very large sum of money, because the Bible tells us there in the text that they took it. But what that tells me here in this passage of Scripture is that these men were persuaded to lie through this bribe. When you look at their testimony, it seems to me not that it is the most convincing testimony of the three, but it adds validity to the testimony of the first two. And that testimony is simply this: Jesus is alive. The guards seen it, the ones that were supposed to protect him from those that would come in and steal the body of Jesus. The problem was they didn't need to worry about somebody breaking in. They needed to worry about Jesus breaking out. We see in the text the certainty of the testimonies. But I want to show you a second thing that's worthy of our attention in this text. Not only do you see the certainty of the testimony, but the reality of the resurrection is also the communication of the message. The communication of the message. The resurrection narrative carries three messages that must be communicated today in this text. Number one, the first thing I want you to see is that there was a certain death. A certain death. Look again at verse number one. The Bible says in Matthew 28:1, "In the end of the Sabbath, as began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre." Now, I would underline that word sepulcher, because what he's referring to there is where the body of Jesus was laid. We know this is Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. And as it being Joseph of Arimathea's tomb, it could only mean one thing. There's a death. And in relationship to this message, the message that's being communicated here is that Jesus was dead. But there's a second message that's worthy of our attention. Not only that there's a certain death, but there's also an empty tomb. All through this passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 28, verse 2, verse 5, verse 6. Again, in Luke chapter 24, in verse number 5, the angel even repeats and says, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" Only dead people go to the sepulchre. The message that is trying to be communicated here is not only was there a certain death, but there's also an empty tomb. But then there's a third message. And that third message that's communicated is that there's a risen Savior. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 7. The Bible says, "And go quickly, tell His disciples that He is risen from the dead." The message that needs to be communicated in Matthew chapter number 28 in this passage of Scripture is that Jesus really died. There really was a death, and there really was a resurrection, and there really is a risen Savior. The implications of this are vital. Number one, Christ has the power over death. Number two, the Godhead's redemption work is finished. Jesus Christ is risen. And because He is risen, as He was throughout eternity past, He is. Jesus is. He's the first and He's the last. He's the beginning and He's the end. He's the keeper of creation. He's the architect of the universe. He always was, He always is, and He always will be. He's unmovable, He's unchangeable, He's undefeated, and He's never undone. He was bruised and brought healing. He was pierced and ceased pain. He was persecuted and brought freedom. He was dead and brought life. He is risen and brings power. He reigns and brings peace. The world can't understand Him. The armies can't defeat Him. Schools can't explain Him. And leaders can't ignore Him. Herod couldn't kill Him. The Pharisees couldn't confuse Him. Death couldn't hold Him. Nero couldn't crush Him. Hitler can't silence Him. New Age can't replace Him. And Andrew Jordan and Jordan Peterson cannot explain Him. He is life. He is love. He's longevity. He is Lord. He is goodness. He is kindness. He is gentleness. He is God. He is holy. He is righteous. He is mighty. He is powerful. He is pure. And His ways are right. His word's eternal. He rules the universe. He's unchanging. And His mind is on us. He's my Redeemer. He's my Savior. He's my God. He's my priest. He's my joy. He's my comfort. He's my Lord. And He rules my life. And He wants to save yours. The communication of the message. The certainty of the testimony. And then number three, the third thing I want you to see is the celebration of Jesus Christ. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 10. In verse number 10, the Bible says, "Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid." I'd underline that. Be not afraid. This is a Greek word that carries the idea of take comfort in your hearts. There's something to rejoice about. He says, "Be not afraid." He gives assurance to the fear that we might have. He tells us there in the text not only to do not be afraid, but He also says, go tell. Now specifically, He's telling them to go tell my brethren that they need to go to Galilee, and there's where they're going to see me. But all through the Scriptures, this is a theme right here towards the end and through the resurrection that we see with Jesus Christ. Go tell, go tell, go tell, go tell. What are we to go tell? We're to go tell that Jesus is alive. So do not be afraid. There's great comfort and hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is something that we need to celebrate. Because of the resurrection, we can be free from sin and death and the chains that hold us down. Jesus saves and identifies with mankind. When you think about the identifying factor of Jesus Christ with mankind, you look through all of the job titles that exist today and the professions that exist in this world, and you see that to the architect, He's the chief cornerstone. To the baker, He's the bread of life. To the carpenter, He's the door. To the doctor, He's the great physician. To the educator, He's the great teacher. To the farmer, He's the Lord of the harvest. To the geologist, He's the rock of ages. To the horticulturalist, He's the rose of Sharon. To the inventor, He is true knowledge. To the jeweler, He's the pearl of great price. To the king, He's the king of kings. To the lawyer, He's the lawgiver. To the mourner, He's the comforter. To the news reporter, He's the glad tidings of great joy. To the orphan, He's the everlasting father. To the philosopher, He's the wisdom of God. To the quilter, He is the one who renews. To the rancher, He's the good shepherd. To the student, He's the incarnate truth. To the traveler, He is the way. To the undone, He's the completer. To the victim, He's the victor. To the weary, He gives rest. To the x-ray technician, He is the image of God. To the yearner, He is the satisfaction. And to the zero, He's the hero. From A to Z, He identifies with all of us. He is risen. He is Lord. He is Savior. He is majesty. He is God. And He loves you. If you were the only person on earth, He loves you a 10 out of 10. Oh, dear friend, from A to Z, Christ Jesus identified Himself with us, and we are to celebrate the resurrection today. But the question that we must answer, as my time is gone, is, do you know Him? Do you know him? March 22nd, 1988 is a day that I'll never forget. It was just a few weeks ago, I thought about it all over again. I was 14 years old and I was sitting in a service much like this. It wasn't Easter. But I can remember the pastor, Brother Gary Rivers. He preached a message that morning that I can't tell you where it's found in the Bible. I can't tell you his points. I can't really tell you a lot about the sermon that he preached. But I can tell you this. The invitation that he gave went like this. You might be here today and you've never known Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. You're here today and you don't know where you're going to spend an eternity. And the fact of the matter is, you're on the road to death. The Bible says, as is written, everyone is going to die. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Dear friend, one day, death will grab us just like it grabbed Jesus. But the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter number 5 and verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You see, dear friend, according to the Scriptures, you can know where you're going to spend an eternity. You don't have to hope that you'll go to heaven. You don't have to think that you'll go to heaven. You can know that you'll go to heaven, being in right relationship with God. But the only way to God is through Jesus Christ. Paul put it this way. If you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Dear friend, today, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, if you've never realized that you can't save yourself, today is the day of realization. Today is the day of notification. Today is the day of declaration. Today is the day of salvation. Will you come to Jesus? The realities of the resurrection are true. D. James Kennedy was right. This has been studied among scientists above any other scientific event that has happened on the history of this planet. We have examined the death of Jesus Christ over and over and over again. History tells us He exists. Theology tells us He exists. Mental capacity tells us that He exists. Even within our heart, as Solomon said, there's a God-shaped vacuum in our heart, and God has placed eternity in our heart. We know it to be real, but are we willing to trust Christ? Oh, I'm so grateful for the sovereignty of God, but I'm just as grateful for the free will of man. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying you got a choice today. You have a choice to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, or you have a choice to reject Jesus Christ. In my 30 years of ministry, I've seen all kinds of excuses. I've seen individuals receive Christ in great joy. And I've seen those that say, I want to wait. I want to wait. And I've seen those just flat reject. No, I don't want to do it. I'm so grateful, dear friend, listen to me, that God's a God of another chance. And Lord, today, dear friend, the Lord has given you another chance. As we meet together on this Resurrection Sunday morning with an empty tomb, as real as I'm standing before you today, saying that salvation is as near as Paul said, with the confession of your mouth and the belief in your heart by faith that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, repenting of your sins and trusting Christ, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that I beg and I plead and I preach, come to Christ. Don't put it off another day. You're not promised tomorrow. You could meet God today. Oh, won't you come to Jesus, dear friend? Cast all doubts aside. Look to the truth of the Scriptures and trust Jesus as your Savior. Could you join me as we pray today? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you're here today and the message of the empty tomb, the realities of the resurrection have penetrated your heart, if the gospel is ringing in your ears, by faith will you trust Christ as Savior? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, from your heart to God's, would you say something like this to the Lord right now, right where you're sitting? Would you say, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I believe that you are the Savior. And this morning, the best that I know how, I repent of my sins and I trust you as my Savior. Today, by faith, I trust Jesus Christ. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Now, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you're here today, this morning, and if by faith you prayed and asked Jesus to save you, I want to welcome you to the family of God. We're going to give a good old-fashioned invitation. I'm going to ask everybody to stand here in just a moment. I'm going to invite those that prayed to receive Christ to come forward. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to present you before the church. I'm going to, number one, pray for you. And number two, I'm going to give you a little book that I wrote about 10 years ago that'll help you on this very first week of your faith. That's what I want to do. I want to help you grow in your faith. You might be here today and maybe you just want to get in the altar and thank God for the resurrection. Or maybe you've got something on your heart that you just need to give to God. The altar is always open and you can come at any time on any verse. But I want to invite you to come today and make that profession that you trusted Christ as Savior. Father, this is the message you've laid on my heart today. I pray you would have your way. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.